This week's parsha is Parshas Ekev, and the parsha talks about the reward of mitzvahs. Right in the beginning, in the pasuk begins, "Vaya Ekev Tishmaun Esamishpatim Eila." It will be. We'll see soon in a minute what exactly the word Ekev means, but it will be simply as a result, as a consequence of you listening to the Mishpatim Eila of these laws, Ushmartem, and you will observe them, Vasisam Oisam, and you will do them. And the Torah goes on to list a whole bunch of blessings that is going to come as a result of that. V'shamen Hashem alakech l'cha es habris, and God is going to keep for you the covenant, v'sachesed, and the kindness, ashenishba la v'secha, that he had sworn to your fathers. He will love you, he will bless you, he will increase you, he will bless the fruits of your womb, and the fruits of your land, the your grain, and your wines, and your oil, which is your livestock, on the land, that Hashem swore to your fathers that he would give to you. And it goes on, blessings upon blessings. This is reward of mitzvahs, similar to what we have earlier in Sefer Vayikra and Leviticus. At the end, we have Parshas Bechukosai, where over there too, there is a whole bunch of reward. Now, the word Ekev itself, what does the word Ekev mean? So over here we have mainly two pshatim in what this means. The Evan Ezra says that the word Ekev is referring to actual reward. So it's not just as Vahaya Ekev Tishman, as a result of these laws, of you keeping the laws, the mitzvahs, then the rewards begin from V'shamar Hashem Alekech L'cha Sabris, that God is going to keep the covenant, but actually Ekev itself means already reward. As it says, La'olam Ekev, he brings schar ba'achrona. The reward comes at the end. So, Ekev is referring to the reward because the reward is the end result of your mitzvahs, which is the reward. So, v'ahaya Ekev, the reward, the consequence and the reward, Tishmo Nesamishpata Me'ela, which you will observe these mitzvahs, will be so on and so forth. So the word Ekev itself means the reward, and later the Torah will spell out what that reward is. The same is also the Ramban brings the Evan Ezra, and he also learns Vinochenhu. He likes that Pirush on the word Ekev, that Ekev means as the end of. Sachar bi acharis, the reward is going to be at the end. That is also stated in the Medrash on the pasuk v'haya Ekev Tishmaun, that it's taking the word Ekev and meaning learning the word Ekev as the, because the Ramban actually explains it a little better. Nachmanides, he says, why would Ekev mean reward, which comes at the aftermath? So he explains because when we look at a human being, we see there is a head and there is a heel. Ekev also means the heel. So the head is the beginning of something and the heel is the end of something. So being that we're using the terms which we're familiar with by looking at a human, he says, so then that would also apply to time. The beginning of time is called Rosh. We actually have that in the year. We say Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year. The end of time is called Ekev. Like we know, Ikvasa de Mashiach, the days, the foot, the heels of Mashiach are called Ekev because they're in the end days, in the end of time. So reward, which is the end of, the end result, the end accomplishment, the end, where things end off at the end of days, that's all Ekev. And that's why we call it Ekev. So it was also stated in the Medrash. The Medrash says, Scharoi be'ekev, that the reward for mitzvahs will be be'ekev. In other words, as we know, the Gemara tells us, Schar mitzvah be'he al-maleka, the reward of mitzvahs is not in this world. The reward of mitzvahs is going to be in the world to come. So when is the reward going to be? Scharei be'ekev, the reward is going to be at the end. We also have that teaching, the last word, in the last parsha, Parshas Veschanon, over there too, the Torah says, the last words of the pasuk is Hayoim la'asosam, today to do them. And Rashi brings, it's from the Gemara Masechtas Erevin, when it says Hayom la'asosam, today to be done, teaches you ulamachar, and tomorrow la'olam haba, in the world to come, litol scharam, to take the reward. So the reward is something of the morrow. Today is the time of work, and the morrow, at a later time, you're going to get the reward. Just the same idea that the reward comes be'ekev, it becomes at the heel, at the conclusion, and at the end of everything that was done before. That's one pirush in the word ekev. Now we also know there's another explanation in the word ekev, and that's the pirush that Rashi says. That the ekev is referring to a particular kind of mitzvah. So we're not talking about the consequence that comes as a result of your listening. But, I mean, that of course is the content of the further psukim. God says, as a result of your listening, I will give you all these blessings. Question is the word ekev itself. So Rashi learns that ekev is not the reward, but ekev is actually the observance itself, and a particular kind of observance. What kind of observance? Ekev means the mitzvahs that are the heel mitzvahs. What kind of the mitzvahs are the heel mitzvahs? Mitzvahs that generally people trample with their heels, because people look at them as unimportant mitzvahs, kind of minor things, minor commandments. And these are things that people kind of kick around because they don't take them like seriously, because it seems to be not a big deal. It's not a great accomplishment. So the pasuk is saying, on when am I going to give you this extraordinary reward that is discussed later in the parsha, if you will take me very seriously, and even the small mitzvahs that people dash ba'akevav, that people trample with or crush with their heel, even these mitzvahs you will obey, then I will give you the reward. Fine. So these are two interpretations of the word ekev. Question is, we know that in Torah, whenever there are two interpretations on one word, they are linked up together, which means there is a relationship in both interpretations. One flows into the other. But if we analyze the two interpretations that I mentioned now, it doesn't seem like one flows into the other. Quite on the contrary, they seem that they're actually two complete different themes and maybe even contradictory to each other. The pirush, the explanation, on the one hand, is that ekev is referring to reward. And the pirush, that ekev is referring to observance, the mitzvah. These are two separate things. There is observance, and there is reward. True reward comes as a result of observance, but yet reward and observance are two separate things. Especially the reward that we're talking about over here is ultimate reward. As Mefarshim say, that what it says in Parshas Ekev, all these tremendous blessings that God's going to give, these are already blessings that are referring to the blessings of the future, the blessings of the days of Moshiach. So these are the ultimate blessings, the ultimate reward of mitzvahs that are going to come in the end. We just said, Ekev means as a consequence after, even in the pirush that we told, why is the reward called Ekev? Because it comes at the end. End what? In the end of times, which means in Mashiach's era. So we're talking about ultimate reward of mitzvahs. When we're talking about observance, the Ekev, which means observance, which even in it of itself is different than reward, but more so, we're talking about not exactly the highest and deepest moment in our observance. We're talking, the Torah is warning or speaking or encouraging, let's better put it, the Torah is encouraging us not to kick around the commandments. So obviously we're talking about a state where a person might be possible for him or her to kick around the mitzvah. And yet we're telling them not to kick around the mitzvah, because because Hashem is saying, because it's a great reward. So obviously, we're dealing not on a very Mashiach, the expansive consciousness, talking about a dark moment of exile, where a person is very unaware, where it's possible that we will trample on mitzvahs, and yet it's telling us, Akev, you should take these mitzvahs seriously. So we're talking about two complete different ideas. One of them a very, very high time, another one on a low time. Especially in addition, to add to this, we had just mentioned from the Pasuk in the end of Parshas Veschanan, where it clearly states that these two ideas, the time of observance and the time of reward, are unrelated to each other, which means they come in two separate times. Hayom la'asosam, now is the time of deed, l'machar tomorrow, l'kabul scharam, you get a reward. So they are not only, are they two ideas, one is observance and one is reward observance, they're so different that they can't even coexist at the same time. When we're having observance, we don't have reward. When we're having reward, seemingly we don't have observance. So it's two separate things that are not even going together at the same time. There is another pirush over here from Rabbeinu Bachaya. And he actually learns that Ekev means reward that comes in the end of days. But he says something very, 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 very geschmack, very beautiful. He says that Ekev is referring to the reward that is given to the body. Because if you take a look at the rewards that are mentioned over here, these are all physical rewards. Wonderful things, but rewards, material rewards. The ultimate reward is when Mashiach comes, is that souls, the people will enjoy the radiance of the Shekhinah. He says that is hinted to in the word Vahoya. Vahoya is the same letters of Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei. It's God's name. So Vahoya Ekev is two rewards. Vahoya is the reward to the Neshama. Ekev is the reward to the body. And that's why it's called Ekev, because from reward itself, it's the more nether reward, the lower reward, the reward that's considered heel, low, like the heel is the lowest part of the body, comparison to the reward that's happening to the Neshama. And that is that's the greater reward. So then we can see that there's at least a similarity in the mitzvah observance and in the observance and in the reward. We still have the question that we're still dealing with two different times, but yet there's at least something similar. There is a common denominator over here. The mitzvahs that people trample with their feet, which means the heel mitzvahs, and also the heel reward. So that's where the two can link up. Both the reward and the mitzvah are ones of the heel. But that's only according to Rabbeinu Bachaya. But according to all the other mafarshim that we said earlier, Ekev is not referring to dafka, as we say, the heel reward. But the only reason it's called Ekev is because it's the reward that comes at the end of days. And quite on the contrary, we're talking about ultimate reward, Mashiach reward, Olam Haba reward, Tchias HaMesim reward, the reward that's happening as the greatest in the end of days, the highest reward. So we're talking about something very, very lofty and very high. And how does that fit with what we said before, with the same word expressing observance and not stop observance, but observance in where there is a precaution that we shouldn't kick around and trample on the mitzvahs. So to understand all of this, we first need to preface and get a better understanding in the reward of mitzvahs in general. To understand and appreciate the notion of reward. Because over here, one can ask a very, very good question. And that is that we know when we're doing a mitzvah, we're causing, first of all, what is a mitzvah? A mitzvah is a divine commandment. Now, it's a godly commandment, but how deep are these mitzvahs? How important, how significant are these mitzvahs to God? Are these mitzvahs only commandments in which God kind of wants to run the creation, wants the creation to, these are kind of what we might say rules of our existence. in order to better our lives, our created realm, our created lives, God gives us certain guidance of how to live our lives to the best. That's a very shallow take on mitzvahs. There is, of course, some Emor Chazal that say that mitzvahs were given only letzaref es abriyos, meaning only for us, and God personally has no interest in the mitzvahs at all. There is some Emor Chazal which seem to imply something like that. However, Alpi Chassidus, and we get deeper according to the more mystical meaning of things, and there are Emor Chazal to support this as well, which say that mitzvahs are very, very, very deeply felt by Hashem. Not just felt, they originate in a very, very innermost place in God, way above the creation, way above God's interest in the creation at all. Quite on the contrary, He created a creation so He can share these commandments. And as it's explained, that Torah and mitzvahs, Torah is considered the chachma, the wisdom of God, and mitzvahs are considered the will of Hashem. So we have chachmasa yiritzayne shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's Hashem's will, it's Hashem's wisdom. The Torah is Hashem's wisdom, and the mitzvah is Hashem's will, which we know that Hashem, and as it says in Rambam, that Hashem and His wisdom are one. And just like Hashem is one with His wisdom, Hashem is of course one with His will. And when we say He's one with that, means that it's part of, so to speak, one with the infinite, with the purely infinite, or even deeper than the infinite. So if mitzvahs are one with God, that means they have infinite significance. There is infinite, unfathomable will. It's an entire chiddush. It's a whole tremendous novelty that we can even know what a mitzvah is. Yet God brings His mitzvahs down to our realm. He bends those mitzvahs down to address us in our physical world so that we can do a mitzvah. In other words, originally in its essence, tefillin is unfathomable. Mezuzah is unfathomable. These are purely godly desires and wants and ideas that are way, way, way above any created entity. God lowers His mitzvahs down, Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai, to bring them down to us in a minuscule, miniature way that we can relate to them, understand them, appreciate them, and even do them. Fine. If that is what mitzvahs are, that they're the will of God, and that we can understand how incredible, important a mitzvah is, the mitzvah itself, even more so, not only is the mitzvah the will of Hashem, we go even deeper than that. It says when we do a mitzvah, we're giving God pleasure. Nachas ruach lefonai. It is a nachas ruach. It is a pleasure. It is pleasing. Rashi brings it many places. Nachas ruach lefonai shamarti v'nasi ritzayni. It is a pleasantness to me. It is a pleasure. It is a delight to God that we do His mitzvahs. That means mitzvahs give God pleasure. If mitzvahs give Hashem pleasure, so now there's a whole. Now the question becomes, how do we explain reward? How can one be rewarded for something like that? What do we mean by the question? A reward is always has to have some kind of a comparison to the work for which one is getting rewarded for. So the value of the reward has to have at least, has to be commensurate with the accomplishment of that which a person is accomplishing. Now, of course, it's possible a lot of times that a person is achieving and accomplishing something, making a tremendous amount of money for the company, and their actual payment is less than that. You can understand. But there has to be some kind of an equivalence. There has to be some kind of a relationship. Some kind of a... Obviously, when a person is working, his boss, his employee, is not going to pay him just for to sustain him during the time of his work. Like, I'm giving you, you're working for me, so I have to sustain, I have to give you a lunch. I'm going to give you a paycheck. With that paycheck, you're going to go home, you're going to feed your wife, your family, you're going to make a living. Which means there is a significant reward which is of the value and related to that which the person has done. The Gemara actually says that when it comes to, the Gemara says in Masechtas Bava Metzia, that really when you hire a Jew, the Gemara says, whatever you're going to feed them, Masechtas Bava Metzia talks about how you have to treat workers. So the Gemara says, when you're hiring a Jew, since they're Bnei Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, since they are the children of Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, even if you're going to give them a meal fit for a king, even if you give them a meal, a feast like King Solomon's lunch, you still have not fulfilled your obligation. We, the Jewish people, are God's employees. We're doing the work for the mitzvahs. God has to give us, I mean, he doesn't have to, but he says he's going to pay us our reward. He's going to pay us payment. The payment, as we said earlier, has to have some kind of a value in comparison to what we are doing. But here's the question. How can there be anything in the world that can compare to the will, the infinite will, the infinite wisdom, and even deeper than that, giving God Himself, God Almighty Himself, the creator of all of existence, of everything, and the one who infinitely transcends all of creation and all of existence. That means that that pleasure is infinite, endless, boundless, Ein Sof. I mean, we don't know other words. And that's what we're achieving. That's what we're accomplishing. A pleasure to God. So what are we going to give a reward for that? What is the reward that can be given for that? You're going to give a person a lot of material, physical wealth and pleasure in this world. How can this minuscule, tiny pleasure of a tiny little human being in any way compare? It's like, imagine, you know, the pleasure that a tiny little ant can have. I don't know, probably has pleasure when it gets a little tasty, a tasty crumb, a little piece of a donut. And it's, oh wow, that's pretty good, right? So that's an ant's pleasure. How can the pleasure of an ant in any way compare to the pleasure of a human? Now the difference between the ant and the human is very, very relative. We're both creations. We're a little bigger than an ant, but our capacity is a couple of, right? Our voltage, I don't know how you would measure pleasure. The degree of pleasure is a couple of degrees higher. But the difference between us and God is Ein Sof. So what are you going to give us pleasure? The sages taka tell us that Yotha Sha'achas, it is better 1 hour b'toro mitzvahs ba'olam hazeh, in Torah study and mitzvahs in this world, has greater value mikol chayei olam haba, from all the world to come. Which means, even when we're talking about spiritual bliss and ecstasy that's given to a neshama when a neshama leaves the body and the neshama goes up to Gan Eden, and we know the pleasure of Gan Eden is so, so immense, so unbelievable, but even that pleasure is still limited. And even a neshama that's traveling in Gan Eden from the lower Gan Eden to the higher Gan Edens and the higher Gan Edens and higher and higher, in growing and growing and growing and growing and growing and deepening their pleasure, yet it's still the pleasure of a limited being. How in the world can it compare to the pleasure of God, to the pleasure of the Eibishter himself? And the Mishnah says it. Why is it better 1 hour of good deeds, of tshuva, and good deeds in this world? Because when you're doing a mitzvah in this world, God is deriving pleasure from it. And the entire olam haba is the pleasure of a creation, which we know is only ziv, and we know it's a spiritual pleasure. And it's a pleasure where the nesham is delighting in experiencing the divine, but he's not experiencing God himself. Because we can't. You can only experience God himself if you're him. We can only experience a little glimmer of the divine pleasure. Like the sages say, a ziv ha-shechina, a ray of the Shekhinah. So we can understand why 1 hour of Torah and mitzvahs in this world is more, literally 1 hour. Imagine being alive in this world for an hour and doing mitzvahs, or from a person's entire life, they got to spend 1 hour in their life fulfilling God's will. The rest of the time, say they fried out. They're out. They're out for lunch. They're not keeping any mitzvahs. But the 1 hour, it's more than value than the entire world to come. How much more so a lifetime of observance every day davening Shachris and Mincha and Ma'ariv and saying blessings and benching and putting on tefillin and wearing tzitzis and doing kindness and tzedakah and keeping Shabbos and all the holidays and all the other chesed and all the good deeds that people do, spending a lifetime, it's not yafesh sha'achas, it's a lifetime of Torah mitzvahs. What kind of a reward can possibly given that it should be a fair reward? It should be a reward. Doesn't make any sense. So there is an answer given. But Reb Shmuel, the fourth Chabad Rebbe, and then later elaborate in his Sefer, we learn this discourse every Shabbos in the morning. We're learning a lengthy discourse. It's a beautiful shir. I'd like to invite people that are in the neighborhood. From 8:30 to 9:30 every Shabbos morning, we give a class. And over there, this discussed very, very deep and concepts. But one of the things we learned recently is about this question, about the reward of a mitzvah. And then in the discourses of his son, Reb Shalom Dov Baer, known as the Rebbe Rashab, in his monumental work called, from Tafrei Samach Vav, one of his key discourses. So over there, in two places he discusses, and he mentions a phenomenal idea. Again, this is based on his father's idea, in which he says that the ultimate reward, it's phenomenal, it's unbelievable, the ultimate reward of the world to come is that the God shares his pleasure that he got from the mitzvah with the person who did the mitzvah. So when we're in Gan Eden, for instance, before Mashiach, in Gan Eden, where neshamas are until Mashiach comes, which we know is inferior to the days of Mashiach, especially to the days after Tchias HaMesim, which is called Olam Haba. So in Gan Eden, a neshama derives also pleasure from the mitzvah. Because we know the deeper meaning of schar mitzvah, the reward of a mitzvah is a mitzvah, means that the reward of the mitzvah is generated from the mitzvah itself. So when you're doing a mitzvah, you're stimulating, you're creating, you're drawing down, as a result of the pleasure you're giving Hashem, you're causing God to reveal Himself. And that revelation and that light or presence of God is felt in the neshama in Gan Eden, and the neshama gets the ecstasy and the bliss from experiencing God. But as we said earlier, the neshama can't experience the mitzvah itself, because the mitzvah is Hashem Himself. Like the Zohar says that the mitzvahs are called, the 248 positive commandments are called Ramach Ivarim the Malka, they're called the limbs of the king. So the mitzvah is God Himself. The neshama can only appreciate a ray of the mitzvah. But that is only where in Gan Eden. Once Mashiach comes, we're going to be elevated so much higher and so much deeper that God is going to share with us His pleasure that He had from the mitzvah, which means the essence of the mitzvah. As this mitzvah is touching something so deep at the core essence of God's, of who Hashem really is, at that place the mitzvah is stimulating pleasure, whatever that means, we don't understand, but so it is. And that essence of the mitzvah is what Mashiach is going to be revealed in the days of Mashiach. He actually goes on to explain that it's Mashiach's inyan to reveal that. That's what Mashiach is all about. Rashi says that in the end of days, Mashiach is going to teach us Tamei HaMitzvahs, the reasons of the mitzvahs. And he explains over there, the reasons over here are not intellectual reasons, ideas, concepts and ideas. The real reason of the mitzvah is the essence of the mitzvah at its very, very core, that it is, he's going to open us up to experience God Himself. The question that is asked, how is that possible? And the answer is that when Mashiach comes, it's going to be revealed how Yidden and Hashem are truly one. So by us being able to become, it's going to be revealed in us how we are really Him, so we can experience then His pleasure, not our pleasure from the ray of the mitzvah, but the Eberster's pleasure Himself. Oh, so now we have a good answer. This is the ultimate reward of mitzvahs. When we're talking about, and that's why we say the reward can't be in this world, because in this world, in our finite state that we are now, we cannot experience this endless, infinite, boundless energy, this truth of the mitzvah. So we wait after Mashiach comes, where then everything is the God Himself is going to dwell in this world. It is the truth of everything is going to be revealed. So the truth of the neshama is going to be revealed. Neshamas are going to be uplifted while they're in the bodies, to be able to receive to be able to come into complete oneness with Hashem. And we're going to be able to feel the reward and the thrill we gave God from the mitzvah that we did way back then during the time of exile or whenever it was when we did that mitzvah. And that's the ultimate reward. Oh, this is a good explanation. So now we understand tzchar mitzvah. Problem, however, is two things. Number one, even if we say that the mitzvah is the ultimate reward of a mitzvah is Hashem sharing His pleasure with us, we still have to differentiate between the pleasure as the pleasure is in Him and the pleasure as that pleasure is being revealed kind of to the other side of Him, which is us. In other words, in everything there is the essence of something and its revelation. And the revelation of something is far less than the essence. Any revelation of something is already, the potency of the essence is severely, severely diminished. So when we're saying that true, the Eibishter, God is going to reveal to us His pleasure that He had in the mitzvah, but it's still a revelation of that. And in that case, it can't compare to the essence of it. And again, if the reward is to be truly a reward, the reward has to have the value of that which we produced. And if our production is this essence of pleasure by God Himself, how in the world, even if we're going to say that the reward is going to be experiencing what's called Tainug Bore, the Tainug of the Creator, which is the ultimate reward, it's still the Giloy, the revelation of the Tainug of the Bore of the Creator, not the essence of the Tainug Bore itself. That's one question. Number two, in our Parsha, the Parsha is talking about not about this deep spiritual Tainug Bore, the light and the pleasure of the Creator that's going to be revealed in us in the end of days, but in our Parsha, we're talking about all the material blessings. As we mentioned earlier, your livestock is going to be blessed, your fruits, your children, you're going to be increased, you're going to be wealthy, you're going to be blessed from all the other nations, you're not going to have any barren woman, nobody, they can't have any children, Shem is going to remove all illness. So these are all very physical material blessings. So in this, how can this be seen as reward for mitzvahs? And this is what the Torah says is the reward. We do, however, know what Rambam tells us. When Rambam, in the Laws of Tshuva, when Rambam talks about the reward of Mashiach, Rambam Bichlal in general is perturbed about the idea that the rewards are so physical. Rambam especially, because Rambam holds that the ultimate reward and the ultimate destination is when the soul leaves the body and the soul goes up to a spiritual world. That means even after Tchias HaMesim, even after the resurrection of the dead, in the end of the days, souls, according to Rambam, are still going to depart the body, and they're going to go up to Gan Eden, because that's only a neshama outside of a body can experience the great, great reward. So therefore, Rambam asks, and again, the halacha does not follow Rambam, because we follow Ramban, Nachmanides, and all the Kabbalists follow Ramban, and which is that the ultimate reward is going to be experienced in the physical down here in this world as a soul in the body. However, just parenthetically, going back to Rambam, Rambam is bothered. How come when the Torah speaks about rewards, the Torah is giving us such physical rewards when, in truth, we should be speaking about the spiritual rewards? So Rambam explains it as follows. We shouldn't look at all the material rewards that are given to us in both in Parshas Bechukosai and also in this week's Torah portion as an end to its own, but rather as a means to an end. Meaning to say that what the Torah is saying is, I am going to Hashem, if you follow my commandments, Hashem says, I am going to make your life be so pleasant and peaceful that you're not going to have any interferences, you're not going to have any chas v'shalom, any deterrence, or any any aspect that might hinder or interfere in your observance of mitzvahs. So you're going to be able to sit in complete peace and tranquility. And that's going to be Mashiach's days, in which we are going to be able to learn Torah, increase our Torah knowledge exponentially. And we're going to be able to accumulate mass amount of mitzvahs. First of all, we're going to live a very long life, Rambam says that. And we're not going to have any worry of earning a living and all kinds of other interferences, war, hunger, whatever else, that illness and the like that might get in the way. So people are going to be able to live enriched lives of Torah and mitzvahs. That accumulation, that enrichment of Torah and mitzvahs is going to allow us to come to the world to come, and we're going to have so much fuel. We're going to have so much accumulated the mitzvahs, which is the ticket, so to speak, for the pleasures of the world to come. That's Rambam. We're going to take, however, the idea of Rambam. I'm not going to go exactly according to Rambam, because according to Rambam, as we said before, the ultimate goal is not this world. But the idea of Rambam, that Moshiach's days is a time of peace and tranquility, where there's no interference in the observance of mitzvahs. So now we can understand what is going to be the ultimate reward. The ultimate reward, in other words, according to the opinion that Moshiach's days is Soif Schar, is the end reward. Again, when I say Moshiach, I mean Moshiach flowing into Tchias HaMesim, which is the resurrection of the dead, flowing into Elef HaShvi, the seventh millennium. So, which is, right, and that takes us kind of into eternity. These stages, and that state of ultimate state of reward is as follows. There is going to be a complete removal of, as we said earlier, of any obstacle. As a result of that, we are going to be able to do mitzvahs without any disturbances. And the reward is to be able to do mitzvahs. In other words, the ultimate reward is, again, not like Rambam that says that's a stepping state to something higher. But according to the other Mefarshim, again, Nachmanides, and according to the Kabbalists, which life on earth is the final destination. So what's the ultimate delight in life on earth? Is actual mitzvah observance. To be able to do the mitzvah, first of all, without the being fragmented. Today's days, we're all over the place. Because we have so much headache, because we have so much stress, and so much that we can't even concentrate when we're doing a mitzvah. So when we do a mitzvah, we do it at the best half-heartedly, maybe even a quarter-heartedly, a tenth-heartedly, so to speak. A tiny little percent of us is invested. Our minds, our hearts, so we do a mitzvah, like we think about ourselves, the way we put on tefillin every day, we're going to shul, we're busy, the phone is ringing, this email has to be answered, this guy's texting you, the other one is WhatsApping you, beep, here, this, that, you know, and even if a person does do the right thing, shut all of that down and be able to concentrate, you still have all the distractions, because it's weighing down heavily on one's heart. Which puts pressure in our life. We're saying that now, when Mashiach will come with the elimination of all those pressures, nothing to think about, only to do the mitzvah, so then we're going to be able to do his mitzvahs with the full attention they deserve, with the full concentration, and even deeper than that. At that time, because of our increased knowledge of who God is, because of not only increased knowledge, but because of the tangible presence of God, the tangible presence of Hashem in the world that is going to be so powerful and so strong, and our sense of who God is, the creator of the universe, and that you can do his mitzvah, that means you can give him a thrill. You can give him a pleasure, a delight, a pleasure in him at his deepest, deepest place. That's you're doing his will. That's the ultimate reward. Schar mitzvah, mitzvah. Now, interpreted a little different than we said earlier. Not the reward of the mitzvah
is a ray of light that comes from that mitzvah that shines into Gan Eden in which we're delighting from. No, the reward of the mitzvah is the fact that I can do a mitzvah. What greater thing is there than being able to do a mitzvah? So why is this reward coming at the end? Because today's days, we're doing mitzvahs, but we're so tzekracht, we're so tzemisht, as you say in Yiddish, we're so confused, we're so scattered, we're so all over the place. So when we're doing it, neither do we have an appreciation of it. Secondly, we can't even invest ourselves completely into it. And as a result of that, we're doing it mindlessly. When Mashiach will come, we will have the greatest thrill of just doing the mitzvah. Just the mitzvah. And that's the reward. The reward is mitzvah. Schar mitzvah mitzvah. Not only that, when Mashiach will come, we will be able to do all 613 mitzvahs. So many mitzvahs we can't do today. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we don't have the Karbanos, we can't do all the things that we're going to be able to do all the mitzvahs. And we're going to be able to do every mitzvah to their fullest with all the concentration and all of our energy. And we're going to be able to do it, as we say in davening, Gesham Nasa Lefanecha, and then, and only then, we will do the mitzvahs before you, K'mitzvahs Ritzaynecha, like the mitzvah of your desire. Like you desire the mitzvah. To do the mitzvahs in their most perfect way, the way God desires them. So that's the reward. That is the only reward for a mitzvah. It makes perfect sense. See, anything else you will tell me, the pleasure, the derivative, and any kind of derivative from the mitzvah cannot be as great as the mitzvah. The mitzvah itself is the greatest thing, because the mitzvah is what the Eibishter desired. He desired the mitzvah. So that's Hashem. Is there anything greater than God? There's nothing greater than God. If the mitzvah is Him, and the mitzvah is His pleasure, then there's nothing greater than that. So what can you give me? The pleasure I will, or even me feeling His pleasure? Again, that's still me feeling His pleasure with the limitations of me, or us. So what then could be the reward of the mitzvah? The reward of the mitzvah is the Eibishter is giving an opportunity to do another mitzvah, or this very mitzvah that you've done, but to really do it. And that's going to be our greatest reward. And we're going to go on doing mitzvahs forever. Even though it does say that mitzvahs betelus la'asad lavan. There's an opinion that says that mitzvahs are batal. In La'asad Lavay after Mashiach comes. And in Tanya it says, in his letters, in the Geras HaKodesh, he says that that's Petriya Sames. No, what that means is that the drawing of the mitzvahs that we're doing now, the godly energy that's coming down now as a result of our mitzvah, doesn't compare to the godly channeling that's going to happen when Mashiach comes. So our mitzvah is going to be canceled. The mitzvahs as we channel them today are going to be canceled in something in something so much deeper and higher. If so, one can then ask, go back to the question, and we'll say, but hold it. So then why do we say, if we're saying that the ultimate state of reward of mitzvahs is going to be the opportunity to do mitzvahs, but to do them in the perfect state after Mashiach comes. So then why are we saying, Yafesh she'achas b'tshuva ma'isim tovim ba'olam hazeh? It is better and nicer tshuva, repentance, and good deeds in this world meaning now. If now is only an introduction to be able to do the mitzvahs then, and then we will really be able to do the mitzvahs the way God wants us to do them. So then it seems to be much greater than now. And the answer to that is that even though the actual observance of the mitzvah after Mashiach comes is going to be so much greater than the observance now, but the observance now is what will bring Mashiach and will bring us to that state. And we always know that the cause of something is always greater and more powerful than that which it caused. Than the consequence. The cause is stronger than the consequence. If our mitzvah observance in this world is what drives and brings about the Mashiach era, where we will be able to do mitzvahs without any hindrances and do the mitzvahs perfectly. But ultimately, what's the cause? Is the mitzvahs now? So then there is something more powerful about the mitzvahs now, in essence. But the actual observance of the mitzvahs, as a reward for the mitzvahs, that we're able to do a mitzvah, and thereby forge a bond and a connection with God, that is much greater after Mashiach comes, not now. So this, first of all, is so, so incredible. Because this brings us to a place and an understanding of how to appreciate mitzvahs that we're doing. See, we're always thinking, okay, so what's going to be? We're doing this, so that. Here we're saying, no. There is nothing greater than just this. It's just that now we have a limit. Now we're limited in the appreciation of what it is that we're doing. The day will come when we won't be limited in our appreciation. And therefore we'll be able to really do them. So you realize, so when I'm doing a mitzvah today, I am doing something that I will always cherish, not just always cherish, but this itself is the most and the highest and most delightful and pleasurable and valuable thing for all of eternity, forever and ever. It's this very, very, very act that I'm doing, nothing coming after it, just this. It's a whole new appreciation in what I am doing when I'm doing a mitzvah. Based on this, we can understand the power of how we bring the two things together. Akev means reward, and Akev also means the observance itself. We said earlier, Akev is the observance, and Akev is also the reward. Because what is the ultimate reward of that Hashem is going to give us for mitzvahs? The ultimate reward that He's going to give us for mitzvahs is the mitzvahs. We're going to be rewarded for mitzvahs, with the opportunity to do a mitzvah. So therefore the two are together. It's reward and it's the observance. Because in truth of truth, that's what it is. So in Parshas Veschanon, last week's Parsha, we're still living in a more constricted mindset. So there we're differentiating. Today is when you're doing the mitzvahs. Tomorrow you're getting the reward. Because over there, we're still in a state where we haven't yet graduated to the understanding that the greatest reward is the mitzvah itself. Let's understand something. Of course there's going to be much reward when Mashiach comes in terms of the way we are naturally prone to understand reward. We said, there's going to be all the physical material blessings and spiritual lights, and all kinds of these, all kinds of wonderful, wonderful, wonderful life of pleasure and delight. That's great. That speaks to someone whose appreciation is still himself. Once we come to Parshas Akev, there's something deeper happening over here. We're graduating to a much deeper understanding. The fact that I can do God's will stands above everything else, and that's my reward. So the reward and the observance are both one nekud at one point. They come together. What we still need to understand is just one idea. How come this is associated with the mitzvahs? Akev, we said, doesn't only mean mitzvah observance, it means mitzvahs that people trample on. The mitzvahs that people trample on with their heels. According to this, what does it have to do dafka with those mitzvahs? It can be any mitzvah. Why the emphasis on the mitzvahs that people trample with their feet?
And the answer is over here is as follows. We find a similar idea to this in that there, in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, when the Mishnah tells us schar mitzvah mitzvah, the reward of a mitzvah is a mitzvah. It's a continuation to the beginning of the Mishnah, where it says, I think it's Ben Azai says, have a rotz l'mitzvah kala, you should run to a minor commandment, kibachamura, like a major commandment. You should run. Don't just do a mitzvah, but run to even a minor commandment like a... Why? She mitzvah gereres mitzvah, because one mitzvah pulls another mitzvah, and uschar mitzvah mitzvah, and the reward of a mitzvah is a mitzvah. By the way, the Mishnah means two things. The Mishnah says one mitzvah pulls another mitzvah. Means that it's inherently natural to a mitzvah that one mitzvah pulls another mitzvah. Because all mitzvahs are linked together in a spiritual chain. So when you do one, you're like pulling a bunch of other mitzvahs. And in addition to that, schar mitzvah mitzvah. The reward that God is going to reward you for doing the mitzvah as a reward from above, not a natural thing, like a more like a miraculous thing, is that he's going to send mitzvahs your way. That's a reward. Schar mitzvah mitzvah. But take a look. Over there as well, the Mishnah is connecting it to a teaching of Ben Azai, that Ben Azai is saying, run to a minor commandment because reward of a mitzvah is a mitzvah. So you see that this idea that the ultimate reward of a mitzvah is the mitzvah is for whatever reason connected to paying attention to the minor mitzvahs. It's exactly the same thing like you have over here in Parshas Ekev. As I said, we just mentioned earlier, Ekev is, the idea of Ekev is where reward and observance are both inherently one because the ultimate reward is observance. And yet, in that very same word, Ekev, we also emphasize the mitzvahs that are trampled on, which means the minor commandments. The mitzvahs, the people wouldn't trample on the major commandments, they're trampling on the minor ones. So what's the connection? Good, so now we just have another association. We see the Mishnah parallels this idea in the Parsha. But what's the idea behind it? So there's something very deep over here. And the idea is as follows. That when we talk about the reward of a mitzvah, is the mitzvah itself. Why is the reward of the mitzvah itself? Because in the mitzvah, when you're doing God's will, that itself forges a bond between you and God, between a person and Hashem. We do Hashem's commandments. Mitzvah has another meaning. Mitzvah means tzavsa. It's an attachment. We become attached. We can understand this a little bit. Imagine when you meet someone that's like your admiration. All your life, you admire this individual. This person is like everything. You're like total, like people that are sports fans. They have their player. They're crazy about this player, you know. Or people follow, actors and actresses and the like, and they become like the star. And imagine that person. You meet that person. And that person turns to you and asks you to do something for them. And you feel, and you did it for them. That you feel like the rest of your life, you're always boasting and talking about that you did something for so-and-so. I mean, remember, I met this person, and they asked me to go somewhere for them, take something, to mail an envelope or something. Wow. Just the mere fact, because now I have an attachment to them. And we're talking about silly people. Imagine having an attachment with the creator of the universe, creator of everything. God Almighty himself is asking you, and you're giving him a satisfaction. It's like, wow. That's the attachment. That's the mitzvah itself. But in order for the attachment to be complete, the attachment is complete when what you're doing is just because they asked you to do so. If you're doing something they're asking you to do, but you're not doing it just because they ask you to do so, but there's some kind of an ulterior motive in that which you're doing, then one is not becoming completely attached. In a sense, it's a little hard to give an example for this, But if you know, God forbid, someone is in harm's way, and they're chas v'shalom going to be hit by a car, chas v'shalom, just an example, a wild, crazy example, and this actor is standing right over there and yells at you, you know, grab that, you know, pull the child in off the sidewalk. And you pulled the child off the sidewalk, you saved a life. And you have the importance of what you did. So the very, very fact that the fact what you did has such significance and such importance, that diminishes the fact that you did something because they asked you to do so. Because you're doing something which is so, so important, you saved this child's life. In a sense, the fact that you saved the child's life is infinitely more important than the star. But even if you value doing something for this actor or this sports, this athlete, and it's so, so, so important to this president or this great scientist or even this great tzaddik, the fact that what they told you to do has an intrinsic value and importance to you is in a sense diminishing or at least covering on the idea that I got to do something that so-and-so asked me to do for them. But if they're asking you to do something that's totally minor and probably insignificant, then the value over here is the fact that they're asking me to do so. Nothing other than the fact that they asked me to do so. That's its value. And then I have a complete attachment to that individual, to that person, because I'm doing something they're asking me to do just because they told me to do so. And that's sort of the idea over here with mitzvahs kalas. If we can do mitzvahs kalas, which means minor mitzvahs, mitzvahs that people trample on, because we don't understand the significance or appreciate the value of these mitzvahs intrinsically for what they are, because, again, according to Torah, these are mitzvahs that are called mitzvah kala. It's a light mitzvah. Not that the chas v'shalom don't have a significance. Obviously, the very fact that God wants it, that itself is the infinite and endless significance. But we're talking about every mitzvah has its particular merit, its particular accomplishment of what it needs to accomplish. And one can, compared to other mitzvahs, refer to this mitzvah as a mitzvah kala. Yet, the whole point over here is the tzafs of the chibur, the attachment, is when you're doing mitzvahs just because out of complete obedience and pure commitment to the will of the commander who commanded you to do this mitzvah. That comes out in mitzvahs kalas. That's why it's a continuation. The Mishnah saying in Masechtas Avos, Ruts, you should run the mitzvah kala. You know it's a mitzvah kala, yet you're running to this mitzvah. Why are you running to this mitzvah? Because of God, not because of you. Because from your own estimation, this is a mitzvah kala. So why, you know, I don't have to get that excited. A mitzvah chamura, which means a major commandment, no, that's something to get excited about. But this is a mitzvah kala. It's a small little minor thing. So why do I have to get so excited about it? But I am getting excited about it. I'm going to do it. And I'm doing it with ruts, with excitement. Why? Because God commanded me to do so. So here there is a complete surrender and nullification to God's will, which is what makes the attachment of me, of the person to Hashem, complete. And then at that point, schar, mitzvah, then the reward of the mitzvah is the fact that you did the mitzvah, because that's your attachment to God. That itself is your attachment. And the same is over here in Parshas Eikev. When mitzvah sha'adam dashpa akeva, mitzvahs that people trample on, you can do these mitzvahs, and v'shamar, as it says over here, ekev tishmein, these mitzvahs you will listen to and you will do them. That's the meaning in ekev. So that leads us to the other element of ekev, is that ekev is the reward. What's the reward? The mitzvah itself. Which kind of mitzvah? A mitzvah that you're doing because God commanded you to do so. So ultimately, after Mashiach comes, and at the end, what are we going to be left with? What's going to be our ultimate experience? Just to do a mitzvah. Why? Because God said so. So you know what? We can do that right now. Just do a mitzvah because God said so. That's it. Do a mitzvah because Hashem said so. And that's the ultimate. May we merit to be able to experience and see the light of Mashiach, and then
we will truly, truly appreciate the quality of our mitzvahs, and we will be able to do all the mitzvahs in the third Beis HaMikdash. May we see it now.
Should I know? Should I know? My heart is okay.